Supervisors, take your seats, please. Make sure you are logged in on the roll call, please. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
32 supervisors are present, which gives us a quorum. And our first item of business is a very pleasant item, and for this I am grateful that Chairman Doyle is out of the country, because it gives me the opportunity to read item 3-4, which is a resolution to recognize the long and faithful service of John Flynn. And we'll read the resolution and not make you stand while we're reading it, and then ask Mr. Flynn and Sheriff Helgeson to come forward for a presentation that we have. Whereas Mr. John E. Flynn was appointed by then County Board Chairman John Thomas to the La Crosse County Highway Safety Committee between 1963 and 1965, serving as legal representative and on occasion acting officer, and continued his interest and input as a member until his retirement in 2010. And whereas Mr. Flynn was an assistant district attorney and then district attorney for La Crosse County, served as secretary for the Wisconsin District Attorney Association in 1964, was past president of the La Crosse County Bar Association and a member of the Wisconsin State Bar and the American Bar Association and the Association of Trial Lawyers. And whereas Mr. Flynn was corporation counsel for La Crosse County from 1955 to 1965, and whereas Mr. Flynn was a commissioner of the La Crosse County Housing Authority for 15 years, a director for the Greater La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, and served as an ambassador of the chamber for over 30 years, he served as legal counsel for the La Crosse Lutheran Hospital Foundation for over 17 years, and was active on the St. Joseph the Workman Cathedral Parish Council, where he was also a past president. And whereas Mr. Flynn was an attorney with Close, Flynn, and Poppenfuss since before 1965 until he retired 2.5 years ago. During his career as a private attorney, he was the lead local attorney representing the developers of the Valley View Mall. Mr. Flynn worked with the following to see that the required road needs were met to obtain the mall: the county highway committees, the county board, city engineering department, La Crosse City Council, State Department of Transportation, and private landowners. And whereas Mr. Flynn also served many years with the 32nd Red Arrow Division of the Wisconsin National Guard, now therefore be it resolved that John E. Flynn be recognized, congratulated, and thanked by the La Crosse County Board as representative of the citizens of La Crosse County for his many contributions to the community and the well-being of the citizens of the La Crosse area. Be it further resolved that this resolution be recorded in the minutes of the proceedings of the La Crosse County Board as acknowledgement for future generations of the citizenship and good public example set by John E. Flynn. Is there a motion, please? Moved by Supervisor Conkle, seconded by Supervisor Plesha. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously with our congratulations. And Mr. Flynn, if you and Sheriff Helgeson would come forward for the presentation of a token of our appreciation.
Sheriff? Well, I'm very honored to be able to give this plaque to Mr. Flynn, excuse me. As you heard, how impressive of a background he has, how much he's done for our community, but serving this many decades on the Highway Safety Committee, making our highways and our roadways much safer. I know we've really appreciated his contributions and all he's done for us here in La Crosse County. And I just asked Mr. Flynn if he'd say just a few words also about some of his reflections on the years that he spent in that position. But I want to thank you, Mr. Flynn, for what you've done for us.
La Crosse County Safety Committee, maybe many of you don't even know it exists, but it's made up of all the different organizations, Unalaska Police, the Sheriff's, our Sheriff's Department, the State Transportation Department, the Highway Department, the City of La Crosse, and this committee has done an awful lot to try to prevent crashes in certain areas. They check every accident that occurs, every fatality. They keep a big chart, put little pins where the accidents occur. They check why was that accident occur there. And if there was something that was wrong with that road, if it needed more signage, more lighting, needed to be straightened, or whatever it was, this committee acted. They act very quietly. They don't seek any publicity. They just act and do their work. And it's been a wonderful job. They do a wonderful job, and I'm very pleased to have worked with them for many years. Thank you.
Congratulations, Mr. Flynn, and thank you, Sheriff, for your help with that. Committee reports and conference reports. Let's start with Historic Sites Preservation Commission. Bev?
I believe all of you have four bookmarks on your desk. They show four of the 25 historic sites that we have in La Crosse County. And the Historic Sites Preservation Commission decided to use some of our printing budget to put these out, and we are now in the process of distributing them to public libraries, school libraries, museums, historical societies throughout the county, and the county offices. Margaret distributed quite a few of them around this building, and I would appreciate any other ideas you have. We're going to continue distributing bookmarks. We're doing this because we felt this was an easy way to publicize the work of the Historical Sites Preservation Commission, explain the tiny bit on the back. There's a couple of paragraphs, three paragraphs, and it explains what a historic site is. We also have at the bottom our new website that you could go to and see some of the other buildings, some of the other interesting things that are historical sites. So take these, distribute them, start reading a good book, give them to your spouse or significant other, children, grandchildren, whoever you see. And if you want me to give you a pile of them, I can do that. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Supervisor Mock. Are there other conference reports? Supervisor Benrood.
Thank you. I first have one from February 25th and 26th, Solid Waste. I've never been to one of their conferences, but I did attend it, and Hank and myself represented La Crosse. He said he had pages of notes and couldn't wait to get back home to consolidate these notes and thoughts on how to make La Crosse a more prominent leader in solid waste. And the knowledge he gained at the conference, he shared with us at our Public Works Committee. My next one, March 9th to the 12th, I was in Washington, D.C. for the Transportation Development Association. There were more than 2,000 appointed county officials attending, with health care and transportation number one priority issues. The Senate bill got a green light on renew highway programs through 2010 and deposit $20 billion in the highway trust fund. It still had to go to the assembly, but I see that did yesterday and possibly signed into law
your
today.
Your mic is off again.
Excuse me?
Your mic is off.
Is that better?
There you go.
The other one I have is Sunday, March 14th through March 17th, the Governor's Conference on Tourism, which I chair for ITBEC. There were three top things that they said we were certain about: death, taxes, and airline fees. And airline fees are approximately 40% more this year. And the last big U.S. airlines, which is Continental, dropped free food except for first-class travelers. British Airways is calling a planned strike walkout scheduled during Easter holidays are expected to affect hundreds of thousands of travelers. And also the rise in mortgage payments, 49%. And I believe that's all, and I thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Benrood. Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to say a special thanks to Steve O'Malley for the high-speed rail meeting today at the Amtrak station. It was a great get-together of rail officials and the Department of Transportation and for other dignitaries that were there to attend from Wisconsin and Minnesota. And for those attending, showing the support for this very important high-speed rail route. And special thanks to Steve for that. And if he could maybe let everyone know when the next meeting is, I think that would be helpful for a good turnout. Thank you.
Are you going to do that now, Mr. O'Malley?
The next meeting of the High-Speed Rail Coalition is Friday morning, March 26th, and it's at 7:30 in the morning at City Hall on the third floor. It's a great means of interaction between city staff, county staff, city officials, county officials, business leaders. I think we're really having an impact and really keeping La Crosse on the map as far as, and we had just a great turnout. We had standing room only, people actually in the area outside of the restaurant area. We had people that didn't even stay because there were so many people there. It was just a great event, a lot of good publicity and a lot of good energy around why the river route is the best route for high-speed rail through La Crosse.
Just as a point of information, Supervisor Richmond spoke on behalf of several of us. Those who were there today, would you just raise your hand so others know to talk to you? Yeah, we had near a quorum, it looks like. Okay, thank you. Supervisor Sobranek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On March 14th, 15th, and 16th, I represented La Crosse County as a member of the Southwest International Trade, Business, and Economic Council in Milwaukee at the Governor's Conference on Tourism. Other members representing La Crosse County were ITBEC members Arlene Benrud, ITBEC Chair Jim Ursham, and Steve Peterson. We left Sunday morning taking the Amtrak round trip, arriving back yesterday. We had Governor Jim Doyle welcome us at the First General Assembly, along with Kelly Trumbull, Secretary of Tourism. There were keynote speakers, workshops, and many breakout sessions. Following the governor's dinner, there was an award ceremony. The tourism awards were for Legacy, Rising Star, Service Excellence, and the Stewardship Awards. We also had a booth in the marketplace. There were a total of 94 booths. For our drawing, we gave out a three-night stay at the Radisson and a one-night stay in the King Room with the King Sauna at the Marriott. Arlene Benrud was responsible for getting drawing gifts for us. There is no cost or accounts to La Crosse County, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Supervisor Sobranek. Supervisor Wood.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Supervisor Billings will probably follow this up, but Supervisor Billings and Supervisor Hansen and I joined with Jerry Huber and Pam Sim to go down to the Wisconsin Counties Association Human Services Day that was held in Madison. And over 150 county and human services officials gathered there for the first WCA Human Services Day. This event was a presidential initiative of WCA President and Calumet County Supervisor Alice Connors. In addition to the strategy session where county officials discussed key challenges, attendees met with legislators to discuss the top human services challenges facing counties. These challenges included age of juvenile court jurisdiction, use of federal stimulus funds, human services financing in county homes, and multi-county collaboration. Human service delivery is such a critical part of what counties do for the citizens of Wisconsin, while at the same time being an extremely complex issue, was Mark O'Connell's comments. And it was deemed a very good, successful day as the initiative went forth.
Thank you, Supervisor Wood. Supervisor Billings.
I don't have much to add. That was, I think, a good report from Supervisor Wood. Just that when we left legislators, it was really good to have staff, Jerry Huber and Pam Sem, with us. And when we left legislators, I like to leave them with the understanding that although human services is an area where we took a hit this year, we're not just sitting on our hands saying, oh, no, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money from you. We're doing things in La Crosse County that sets models for the entire state with what we've done with Lakeview, what we're doing in human services and economic support with shared services with surrounding counties, with what we were doing with alternative response in our family and children section. We've reorganized departments to, we're really working to deliver services more efficiently and more effectively. And we got support from our legislators on that. I think they could really see that that we're working from our end of the deal to do the best we can. The other thing I would like to bring to the attention of the board is Supervisor Ann Fisher and I are the representatives on CULICAP. And at our last meeting and also a press conference this week, we've learned about ERA funding and CULICAP. Now, CULICAP has been around for 44 years, so when President Obama signed ERA funding into law, and with support from our federal legislators, Senator Cole, Senator Feingold, Congressman Kind, we thank them for that because the money could come easily to CULICAP. We already had a structure there where we are delivering services to people in poverty, and it's worked out quite well, I think, where we've created 20 jobs since December of 2009. That's when we started receiving funding. We've helped 2,905 local people with needs including shelter, emergency food, and food pantry assistance, security deposits, rent, utilities, moving assistance, general assistance with basic critical living expenses, health care emergencies and expenses, critical home repairs, home weatherization, housing counseling, foreclosure intervention, and youth employment and training, the 2009 Summer Youth Program. Now, 14 of our 20 hires deliver weatherization services, and so they benefit the people who have high heating bills and often can't afford to pay them so that they have a snug house that's more energy efficient. It saves energy for all of us, so it's a benefit to all of us. Also, it improves housing stock. This is an issue especially in the city of La Crosse, where people may not be able to do that type of work. CULICAP can come in and help with that work, and it helps all of us in La Crosse County by improving our housing stock in general. So we just wanted to, some people are saying, oh, where's that ERA funding? What has it done? And so we just wanted to highlight the great things that it has done in our area. And I have a couple brochures called The Road to Recovery that gives some statistics and also tells some stories. And if anybody's interested, I'll leave them out on the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Billings. Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you. Tuesday night, I attended a meeting town of Campbell that Keith Butler, our emergency management person, facilitated a discussion on the upcoming flood. They thought it was going to be a lot worse than what it is, but the town of Campbell has a plan, and Keith went through and facilitated the discussion and pointed out areas that they were lacking, and there were a lot of them, and I'm really happy that we have Keith on board because he was very helpful to those people.
Thank you. Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the note of ERA funding, there will be a press conference tomorrow at 1 about ERA funding that the Health Department is receiving for expansion of preventative health services in the areas of tobacco and obesity.
Where?
I don't remember.
Doug was here. That 1 o'clock news conference.
I haven't read the entire email yet.
It's at the Hogan Administrative Center.
That's
at
right.
1 o'clock.
Okay.
And I will have remarks ready by then.
Supervisor Mettinger.
I was going to say, Doug, obviously the federal legislators haven't been notified of that.
They have.
Not their local offices, then. Send it to Washington or what?
We just got one notified.
It's at 1 o'clock at Hogan, Supervisor Mettinger.
The governor is managing the conference. Sorry.
Any other conference reports from supervisors? Any other conference reports? All right, thank you all for updating us. Mr. O'Malley, administrator's report.
Okay, I have a number of items. You notice I put legislative ideas for Wisconsin Counties Association. This is a highlight on behalf of our legislative committee, Ann Fisher, and the members of that committee, that by the close of the end of June, we need to get all of our resolutions in. So I'm going to ask that each of our governing committees this month have as an agenda item a discussion of ideas that you would like staff to prepare, or at your direction, if you want to work on them, legislative ideas to make sure that we get into the cycle and bring through our legislative committee process for they need to be adopted by the end of June to get in as a potential item for Wisconsin County's annual conference. A couple of items just to highlight, as you can tell, both with our e-news update that you're getting, as well as the work on legislative, if you haven't heard, the governor signed the public defender bill earlier this week. That was an initiative that has been generated by county board members, both through the legislative committee and, of course, individually. We've gotten a lot of highlight out of that in the e-news that we've been keeping people up to date on. So we have had some impact. Of course, it won't help us on the 2010 budget. It becomes effective in 2011. But I think sometimes we miss out on recognizing when we actually have an impact. And back to what Supervisor Billings and Wood and Hampson have said, it's important that we're engaged and we are having an impact, not as much as we would always like, but this was an item that that we ended up having influence on. So I think that's important to notice. In addition to that, I'll just share with you that while we haven't weighed in on the complicated issue of the Green Jobs Bill and the issues that are involved with global warming that is being bantered about by many sides on that, it's a 174-page bill. I did talk with Chairman Doyle and Supervisor Fisher. We have, at the request of Xcel Energy, just asked that the definition not change about the French Island plant. There was some dialogue, not by legislators or folks that were actually involved in the task force, but they were trying to streamline the wording that would have actually excluded the French Island plant from the definition of renewable energy, and obviously that would have a potentially negative impact. So again, we're not weighing in on that bill. That would take a great deal of work. I know there are people on both sides of that bill that are arguing about it, but with permission from Chairman Doyle, he submitted a letter that we worked on asking the definition not to change because that had not been a legislative initiative. So that's a whole lot of information, but what I wanted to get across, if you go away with anything, if you've got legislative ideas that you think we should initiate as a county board, I'm going to put that on for discussion at each one of your governing committees. We have a little bit of time, but we don't want to miss the deadline to engage with that. June 28th is the deadline, so we have to have them in by the June committee meetings and drafted and adopted so that we can become a part of the legislative platform for the fall convention, which WCA, of course, is in Milwaukee this year. Any questions or feedback, or Supervisor Fisher, did you have any additional feedback from our committee meeting?
Supervisor Vistra.
I think this is a great idea, and I'm curious about how you want to process them through each department, through the legislative committee, or just independently send them up to Corp Council or to you, or if you want everything to go through legislative.
If you could get every idea to me so I can spearhead and make sure that, we will try to bring everything back through legislative committee as well to have their input. The sooner the better. If it's coming in late, it'll be hard to do that, but we really want to keep the legislative committee engaged in getting their advice. They've got a number of items that they may be initiating as well, but we thought it was important to bring back to all the county board members and the governing committees.
I would add to that, as a courtesy to the chair of your committee, if it's germane to the committee you serve on, if you would make sure that the committee chair knows that you've passed that along to Mr. O'Malley, that would be appropriate as well. Go ahead.
Okay. Next item included in your packet were a number of items that Supervisor Mettinger has asked for. There is a detailed report on indigent burials. I've got staff here that can review the details if there are questions, but the two key things that I would like to point out, if you haven't had a chance to read through it in detail, is that the top program is funded by county property taxes. The bottom program we administer on behalf of the state and is 100% state funded. And I don't know if this was exactly what you were looking for, but the end of my expertise ends with what I just did, which is to describe for you reading this. We also have the head of economic support and, of course, fiscal accounting in human services that are available. Lori Graff and Sarah Koopman that could answer more specific questions. So,
Supervisor Mettinger.
Well, thanks, Steve. I thought this was real interesting. First thing, though, in our budget that we adopted, I think there's only $5,000 in this line item, right? And the cost is
Sarah, can you
cost is $27,000, $29,000, and $28,000.
I believe I don't have it right in front of me, but it's I believe there's $25,000 in that line.
I thought it was $5,000. Is it $25,000?
It would be a 9002.
Well,
it was 12 back in the day. I can't imagine it's gone down.
We were reviewing that by email as well. Is that
okay.
We've been budgeting $25,000. It's been over that a little bit. We adjusted at the end of the year, but perhaps we need to adjust that up for next year.
It looks like it's increasing a little bit.
She found the answer.
It's in Human Services. It's in our org 9002 account 64063 mortuary, and it's $25,000 is what was for 2010.
Okay.
I just
remember. I didn't look. I just thought it was $5,000. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Which homes participate in this? Do we know? They
funeral
all do,
homes?
Or they one
I
or
don't.
Two?
I don't have it with me off the top of my head, but there's many. There's many homes because depending on where they're from. I mean, I did put all the detail together.
In La Crosse County.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, kind of depending on which area the person's from.
Is there some that refuse to participate in the program?
I don't know if Lori would know that.
This is Lori Graff, homes. Head of Economic Support for...
Which funeral homes participate, and are there any that refuse to participate, Lori?
No, I don't believe there are.
How do you decide which funeral home?
The family, too.
Actually, it's the family goes to the funeral home, and for the state program, the funeral home actually does all the paperwork and just sends it to the county.
Under the Medicaid program.
Right, but under the county, the family does. The family will come in, and they already have picked out what funeral home. Usually
okay.
It's a funeral home who's sent them to us because they've gone there and seen that they don't have sufficient funds, and
okay.
The funeral home refer them to us.
If we have a homeless person with no family that dies in La Crosse County, do we have a process then to pick a funeral home?
Yeah, that's usually through the county.
Well, I assume that. But
yeah. What's
are you ready? Who do we pick?
I think.
Is it like Don's Towing or what? I mean, it must be a process. You must say, if this person, you find them laying dead under a bridge,
be the medical examiner. We don't do that.
Okay,
that's
the
what
medical
I was
examiner
to
must have
that
a...
Was. Yeah, he would have that process. He comes in and meets with us, and he makes that decision. Yeah.
Okay. Where are these people buried? Are they all out at the poor farm or what?
No, I think it's all arranged through the funeral home. So they're in various places.
Is there any cemeteries that says we won't take somebody for less than $1,000 and put them in the ground?
No.
Really?
Not that participate. I mean, a funeral home can say, no, I don't want to participate in this. But I don't know any in La Crosse that aren't participating in the program.
Okay.
But, I mean, obviously, these are low rates.
There are still burials out at Hillview. But we don't direct them out there?
No, we don't.
And then the other question is that it says that the total cemetery costs exceed $1,000. La Crosse County will not authorize any payment.
Right.
If a person says, I got $100, and it goes, to add to this, if it's $1,100, we'll say forget it?
Well, if the cost of the funeral is $1,100, then we don't pay anything. That's the cost. It's because it's to, we will only pay for a $1,000 funeral.
Okay.
I was going to say, and that's similar to the state's policy.
Okay.
That's how they do it, too, if you look under the MA program. So we kind of followed that.
All right. It looks like the trend both for La Crosse County and La Crosse County MA burials is heading up. So this is an increasing problem of poor people without enough sufficient funds to bury themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It follows the trend for all our other programs
going out. I thought this was interesting information, so I appreciate it.
Supervisor Veenstra.
It's extremely morbid, but people are now often choosing to be cremated instead of being buried. And in fact, a lot of younger people, I think, are choosing that because it's a green alternative. And I'm wondering if that could be an option that's available or if we can just dictate that, you'll be cremated and placed where you want to be placed with family or whoever.
Yeah, it's really the family's decision. We do have people that do get cremated, it would be under the funeral costs. So some do choose that. In fact, we had a funeral home, and I can't think of the name, in La Crosse County that just started business, and he does, I believe, cremations only, and it is significantly cheaper than your traditional funeral home.
Any other questions? Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Lori.
The next item, also requested by Supervisor Mettinger, is an update personnel department demographic report. I hope this is what you were seeking, is an update on the gender makeup of employees as well as the minority status, or at least reported minority status. I was pleased to see the percentage was as high, though obviously we're not equal to the percentage, at least from the last census, but the numbers were higher than I might have expected, particularly at both of our off-site nursing homes. There's a large minority population serving our clients at both of the nursing homes. I also wanted to just put in a little comment. As some of you know, and particularly Supervisor Friedland and Supervisor Hampson have been very much involved, along with our personnel director, in a lot of initiatives trying to get better at outreach to our diversity or to our diverse populations in our community. We've got several work groups. One is the internal work group of staff trying to bring us better tools and better resources so that we're more comfortable and more accepting of how we deal with diverse populations, as well as the larger area-wide diversity council that you'll be learning more about in April. We're one of the agencies through our personnel department that's participating, all with a lot of other larger employers, and you'll hear more about this in the month of April with some press information. And again, this was initiated by Chairman Doyle and both of the supervisors that I mentioned, trying to make our personnel department as an employer more consistent with what our philosophy and our laws and our ordinances say we should be, but doing it more actively. So I hope this is the kind of information you were looking for, and it educates all of us on what our situation is.
Is that it for you, Mr. O'Malley?
Yes. Madam Chairperson.
Supervisor Mettinger.
Again, I think this was really interesting information, and I'm not unhappy with the statistics. I mean, it's not a representative workforce yet, and I think Mr. Talent, I think he's here, he'd probably agree with that. The representative workforce would be somewhere close to what the percentage of the minority population is, so we still have some work to do. But I think this is, it shows effort. And it's interesting, just a couple of points. If you went over about a block north of here and you looked at the male-female ratio of the city employees versus the county employees, it'd probably be exactly flipped. Because city is a male-dominated workforce, it's probably 70-80% male, 20-30% female, and this county is 70% female and 20-30% male. And that's just kind of based upon the traditional occupations of truck drivers versus social workers. Neat work to be done there, too, I suspect. Madam Chairperson, but that's a fact, Jack.
Okay, Jack. Are you done, Jack?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is a question, and when a certain person got elected mayor in 1997, and they looked at the demographics of the city workforce, we found that about 50% of the people were related to each other. And do we have an anti-nepotism? We now have an anti-nepotism ordinance in the city of La Crosse. Do we have an anti-nepotism ordinance for the county?
Bob Taunt is nodding his head.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Anything?
And there is no truth to the rumor that there's been a coup. Steve will be coming back. The women have not completely taken over the county board, but
they're,
it's close.
So nervous about this.
Well, they've got almost a majority here now. So. Yeah.
And just to be clear, I'm fine with that
April
if that's
7th.
What happens.
April 7th. Anything else, Mr. O'Malley, that's on the agenda? As opposed to Oscar. No. Cards and correspondence are on the bulletin board next to Supervisor Bills Kemper. Any committees meeting during recess? Just a reminder, as we move into the rest of the agenda, there is an addendum 311A. So make sure you have that in your stuff as we proceed through the agenda. And Supervisor Veenstra, I am going to ask you to take the chair so we can do these appointments the old-fashioned way, on advice of counsel.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Veenstra. On behalf of Chairman Doyle, I move the appointments of Lynn Valiquette to the Ethics Committee for a 3-year term to expire April 30th, 2013, and Gerald Sobranek to fill the vacancy on the Commission on Equal Opportunities in Housing for the remainder of a 5-year term to expire April 30th, 2014.
Moved by Andrea Richmond, second by Bill Brockmiller. All those in favor? Discussion, sorry. Thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Veenstra. Consent agenda item 3-7, moved by Supervisor Plesha, seconded by Supervisor Paff. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Consent agenda is approved unanimously. Supervisor Don Meyer, Planning Resources and Development Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have item 3-8. Conditional use permit number 806 filed by Robert Schwartz acting in behalf of the Paul Schwipe Foundation, care of Transit Point Incorporated, to amend conditional use permit number 172 to an additional acreage to the existing Nature and Visitor Center on the land zoned Agricultural A in the town of Shelby. This was voted on in the committee unanimously 4-0 and approved with 5 conditions. I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Supervisor Cotter. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously.
Item 3-9, zoning permit number 1833, filed by David and Julie Harder to rezone from traditional agriculture district to agriculture district A in the town of Unalaska. This was voted on 4-0 in committee. I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Supervisor Richmond. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously.
The next two are termination items 3-10 and 3-11. Both are approved by the owners and the staff and the committee. I move for your approval of termination of both items.
Do we have unanimous consent to lump 3-10 and 3-11 together? Are you objecting, Supervisor Sobranek?
No, I'm for that.
Okay. Unanimous consent to group 3-10 and 3-11, and they have both been moved by Supervisor Meyer, seconded by Supervisor Pedretti. Discussion on those two items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those carry unanimously. Now to the addendum.
Yes, we have the addendum for the ordinance. But first of all, we want to bring your attention to our minutes, which indicate that this motion failed in committee 301. And that's incorrect. It passed in committee. So you should make that note. So I have ordinance number 80 to entitled Farmland Preservation Committee in Chapter 32 entitled Farmland Preservation of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. This will be held over for 30 days and we'll vote on it in a month. However, I'd like to have Charlie Handy step forward and talk about it a little bit, and he could probably give you some information that will save a lot of questions later on. Charlie?
Thank you. This is an ordinance that is in response to a resolution that you adopted last summer for farmland preservation, purchase of ag conservation easements. This ordinance is an enabling ordinance to allow us to put together a farmland preservation committee. There's also some very brief minimum standards for farmland preservation for farms, basically. The idea is to create the committee and allow the committee to do that work of creating the standards. This would basically set the committee up, who's on the committee, when they act, how they act, etc., who they work through, the PR&D committee and then the county board, and then allow them to create the standards. So that's why this is a very short, brief ordinance. It's also, it needs to be confirmed by the Department of Ag at the state of Wisconsin, because that's where we're getting the funding from to do this. So again, this ordinance is short. It's drafted based on state statutes and just basically enabling legislation.
Supervisor Path.
Thank you. I had just one question on that. That one doesn't. The question is, with the funding now, it says it comes from the states for the Farmland Preservation Program, but is some of it locally funded also?
No.
None of it at all?
Not yet.
The existing ones that have been done in the state, are they completely funded by the Farmland Preservation Program, or are they funded jointly by both? Locally?
Some are, some aren't. They vary. There are some that have local funding, and there are some that don't.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Bina.
I thank you, Madam Chair. Two questions, and I raised both of them with Charlie before. Since this is a ordinance that does govern farmers and farmland forever, I guess I talked to Charlie just before the meeting, and I'm not going to make an amendment to the first paragraph, but there's nine people on this committee. And I, for one, would like to see at least three farmers on the committee, since this ordinance is regulating farmland, and I'm not sure how to go about it. I didn't want to present an amendment because the county board is going to appoint this committee, and if we have a unwritten rule that three farmers can be on the committee, I don't have any problem with it the way it is right now. So Charlie suggested I talk to Steve Doyle about it, so when he gets back, I will talk to him about that possibility.
I think that's an excellent plan.
Okay, I took you off the hook.
And I think we've now been put on notice that that's a concern you have, and it is possible that you might offer an amendment next month.
That's why I brought it up now.
That's great.
The only other area, I met with any number of farmers on this, and they reviewed it, and the only other questionable area, and I told them it can't be changed, but on page 3, halfway down, it says conservation values of these lands in perpetuity. That it makes it a long, long time. let's say we accept a piece of ground within 3 miles of a village or a city, and then we pay the farmer for keeping it in this program for the rest of that farm's life, and then the city wants to annex. It could be a problem, and how could we find a way out if we want to develop a way out of perpetuity? And I do have a suggestion, but I'm not going to offer it as amendment at this time. But there was an issue raised in our committee about perpetuity. I realize that we want to save farmland, and I'm in agreement with that. But forever, I don't know if forever is a good answer, so I'm just raising that as a second issue.
Any other questions of Mr. Handy? Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just what effect does it have on property tax? It would just stay the use value, or would it have any effect on property taxes?
For the most part, agriculture is being used as use value assessed, and this does not affect use value assessment. So for the most part, it does not have a negative or a positive effect on property taxes. There is some ability by the landowner to utilize this program for income tax purposes, to use it in their plan to develop an income tax strategy, if you will, but it should not have an effect on the property tax.
Correct, and you gave a very nice presentation at Hamilton. I appreciate it. I just didn't remember
property tax is basically minimal at best, and so it's not a real factor. Thank you, sir.
Supervisor Weers.
In response to Supervisor Bina's concerns, it's my understanding that it's regulated by the state or federally, that how long it's is why it's in perpetuity. Is that correct? Or
yeah,
is it?
You'd have to take that perpetuity argument to DADCAP, because they're the ones providing the funding, or to the Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program. So it's not something that we can amend in our ordinance locally.
Supervisor Veenstra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a couple questions about Section 32. Are we supposed to ask questions about this now or next month?
We can. We have it next month. We're not going to vote on it until next
right.
month.
Right. Well, so. Maybe it's good. Might as well now.
Okay.
32.06. I'm questioning the appeal process to the PR&D committee if it fails at the Farmland Preservation Committee. It talks about a hearing, and I'm just curious if that's perhaps we should say an evidentiary hearing, if it's going to be an evidentiary hearing, or if it's just going to be on the record that was produced at the Farmland Preservation Committee, to say a hearing on a paper appeal or something to that effect, so that people know what they're doing when they get into it. And also in that same section, I was curious if April 1st is mandated by someone somewhere else other than here. That seems late for tax purposes. If they have 45 days to review it in that subsection 1, if somebody's more than likely everyone's doing this for tax purposes and also out of the goodness of their heart. So I could see it being earlier.
I can talk to Bill about the first one to make sure we get that wording right before next month if there is a change that's necessary. The second one, April 1st, really you're looking at income tax ramifications for the next cycle. So April 1st is really not something that can affect that same cycle. It's actually one of the reasons why Farm and Ranch Land Protection and DADCAP has their grant cycles the way they are. So it would work out good. Start on the 1st of April, you get it done before that next tax cycle.
Great. Section 32.09, which is conflict of interest on page 8, I get the idea that this is basically to keep people that have an interest from being on the committee deciding their own things. I would think that would already be covered. Are these people subject to the county ethics rules? Okay, so it seemed that would already be covered, one. And then if we're going to try and include things, we should also include trusts in that listing of things. And I don't know if the et cetera would include that. The other thing I'm just wondering, as a matter of policy under 32.11 for enforcement, paragraph 2, I assume the reason why we're giving people notice that we're doing the inspection is because we wouldn't really have any authority to go on their land otherwise, or if we haven't, I'm kind of curious because if somebody's doing something wrong and you call them up, they're going to, you know, fix it before you come out to inspect them. It seems sort of counterproductive to let them know you're coming out to see if they're doing something wrong.
No, I think more than anything, this is out of respect for the landowner, understanding that we're negotiating a voluntary easement with them. They know that if we're going to come out and inspect, that we're going to give them notice so they know when we're coming. If they're violating this easement, they haven't done something that they can clear up in a week. They've built something. They've constructed something. That week's notice isn't going to give them the ability to fix what they've done. So it's really more the reason that that's in there is out of respect to allow them to understand exactly what they're getting into when they're negotiating, so that they know when we're going to come out and do our inspections that we give them notice.
I understand. Thanks. Appreciate that. I don't have anything else right now.
Supervisor Paff.
Thank you. One more question. With qualifications, does it have to be exclusive ag to be in the farmland preservation? Because
we have
not all townships are, and some people are not, but will it be exclusive?
We have two zoning districts, which would be what would be considered farmland preservation zoning districts. Currently, it's exclusive ag and transitional ag. So it would need to be in one of those two districts. We do have, like you say, the town of Madary. There is no exclusive ag in the town of Madary, so there probably won't be any farmland preservation, any PACE projects in the town of Madary, unless the town changes their policy as far as exclusive ag zoning goes.
Any other questions of Charlie? So this will be on the agenda for next month for a vote. Is that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
Yeah, that's it. They should bring their, sound like there might be some amendments. They should bring them in, written up for the clerk there.
Everybody hear that? If you have suggested amendments, make sure they come in writing, please.
That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Executive Committee Supervisor Veenstra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have item 3-12, an ordinance relating to no-wake zones. I'm supposed to read this thing?
Just the analysis.
Thanks. The Joint Board of Harbor Commissioners has requested that La Crosse County and the City of La Crosse repeal the slow no-wake ordinance for that part of the waterway in the town of Campbell known as French Slough because it is not needed and has not been enforced. I'd move its approval.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Veenstra, seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Discussion. Supervisor Schrader.
Who deemed it not needed?
Supervisor Meyer.
The commissions, the Harbor Commissions. It's never been enforced. We never use that. Our boat has never gone down there, so it's something that they want to take off the ordinance.
The boat has never gone down it, you said?
What?
Did you say a boat has never gone down it?
The patrol boat has never gone down it. The 100-foot buoys are still out there in areas where it is 100 feet from the shoreline, but that hasn't got anything to do with this particular no-wake ordinance.
And why hasn't the patrol boat gone down there?
Just hasn't been a need to go down there. They're only out 2 days a week, and there's enough going on in Mississippi and the Black and all that they spend their time there.
So, and your initial answer was that the ordinance is written in response to a request from the Harbor Commission.
Right. Dave Lang's been
I don't know if you heard that.
Dave Lang's been deeply involved.
And the City Police Department, Mr. Shepherd is saying.
City?
The City Police Department.
That would be county.
Any other question? Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ordinance is carried unanimously.
We have item 3-13, an ordinance relating to mileage reimbursement. The ordinance expands the activities attended by county board supervisors for which they may claim mileage. Currently, supervisors may only claim mileage for attending meetings when they receive a formal meeting notice. The ordinance would allow supervisors to claim mileage for official county business that is defined as resulting from their county board or committee responsibilities. Would include notice meetings and also include attending other matters such as meeting of another governmental entity where an item of interest to the county is going to be discussed or meeting with the department head or the county board chair or administrator when a meeting notice is not required by law. Supervisors' claims will still need to be approved by the county board chair and processed by the clerk. I'd move its approval.
Actually, this is the first reading.
Oh.
I believe.
I will not move its approval.
So we'll consider this its first reading and discuss it this evening as well, but vote on it next month. Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. This was actually done at my request, and I don't think I'll be here in April.
Hit it.
You want
to talk about it?
I could. I'll just mention my reasoning behind it. This came up when we were discussing supervisor salaries and insurance for supervisors and all that stuff, and I got riled. And the mileage thing, I had never even considered claiming for mileage in town because I live 2 miles away, so I just do it. But then I went back, because I got riled up about it, I went back and went through all of 2009 and looked at all the trips that I've made for the county and added it up with mileage, and it came to over $400. And then when I turned them in, half of them were taken off because they didn't have a pink notice. And those include some things like agenda prep meetings. I had a meeting here with Linda Stone about travel claims themselves. you know, and sometimes Steve Doyle or Steve O'Malley asks me to come in and do something. There's this diversity committee. There's a lot of things that are not formal, but you're still driving. So that's the rationale behind it.
Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we have a fiscal note with this? It's unusual. In fact, we never have fiscal notes with ordinances, but I think, and this one may be almost mission impossible for Gary, but I think you should have a fiscal note because it's going to increase the budget.
So that's something you're asking for before next month's vote?
If possible.
Will you at least work on it, Gary? Even though it's mission impossible?
It is somewhat difficult. I mean, Supervisor Hampson actually went back and recreated what she would have turned in, and I guess I'd like that from all county board members and in order to get a fiscal note. I mean, the best I can do from a fiscal note is I can tell you what the actual expenses in 2007 was for mileage was $10,187. For 2008, it was $11,085. And for 2009, it was $8,799. So if this was a recent change, which I think it was, wasn't it? I guess I don't know when it changed, but it appears that the mileage has been going down, or did go down in 2009.
Are you wanting more of a fiscal note than that, Supervisor Spiker?
No, I just want some figures. You're going to have to use some figures for the budget, even though you may be going down, but that's one board. There's a new board coming in, too.
I mean, I guess as an example, I mean, let's have a show of hands. And I mean, Supervisor Hampson went back. How many years did you go back?
Just 2009.
Just 2009. She came up with $400 that she could have been reimbursed had the language been different. So, I mean, how many of you board members do you think you'd have similar to that or representative of that or close to it? I'd like to see a show of hands. Half a dozen?
Looks like.
I mean, in that case, I mean, it's simply a matter of taking 6 times 4, and you get 2,400.
Minus half that was allowed.
That's good enough.
Pardon?
Minus half that was allowed.
You made your point.
Wait. Supervisor Spiker has the floor.
You made your point, I guess, but I thought why I brought it up is we do at every for resolutions we have fiscal notes. But we don't for ordinances, and sometimes our ordinances are very expensive. But I realize the difficulty to get this. But you say $2,400, then, right? Okay, that's good enough. Thank you.
Supervisor Friedland.
Thank you. Just a couple questions. How does this policy differ from whatever policy is in place for other county employees, department heads and not department heads? That's my first question.
Don't
my
all
second
jump at once to answer that. Gary, you going to?
I don't have the ordinance right in front of me. I can actually look it up and be more specific. But, I mean, if county employees are required to travel for work, now that, you know, we certainly don't get reimbursed to go back and forth to work, to our regular workplace. But let's say, for example, that during the middle of the day, I have to drive out to Lakeview, for example. I would be reimbursed for that if it's a meeting that I need to attend. There again, there are several employees, however, that don't turn in their mileage. I mean, it's kind of somewhat like county board members. Some do it gratis, and I'll have to admit that I don't always remember to turn in my local mileage. If I make a trip to Madison, certainly I would turn it in.
And there are also county-owned vehicles that can be used?
Certainly, there are county-owned vehicles. You know, those that travel on a regular basis certainly have a county-owned vehicle, like the highway commissioner and so forth and so on. There's a zoning van that's available, highway van that's available. If county employees travel outside of the county, typically it's cheaper to rent a car. For example, if you go to Madison for one day, a car rental is cheaper. So,
Mr. Shepard has an ordinance in front of him. He can give you just a little more detail.
With respect to county employees, I think that the provision that you're looking for is in the ordinance. It says reimbursement shall not apply with respect to miles traveled to or from a traveler's home to his or her headquarters or while on personal business. So employees do not get compensated driving between their homes and their work site. But if they arrive at their work site and they're assigned to go to some other place, they would be entitled to claim mileage. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Well, yeah. My other question, it actually answered my other question also, because my other question was whether this was more generous than for other employees in that it compensated county board members for going to work, and it does compensate county board members for going to work. So it does seem more generous than what the other employees get.
Probably depends on where you consider supervisor's work site. I guess if you consider your work site at home, it may not be. But, you know, I don't know. That's a policy issue for you as a board to decide.
Supervisor Sobranek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This being the first reading, second reading would be in April. Is that the final we vote in April?
That's the plan. That's our normal practice.
Okay. In respect to Supervisor Hampson, I would move that we hold this over until our May meeting so Supervisor Hampson can be here to voice her opinion and cast her vote at that time.
Well, I think we need unanimous consent to move it off of the April agenda, which we can take up in April. It's going to appear on the April agenda, and that motion would be appropriate in April to refer it to the May meeting.
I ask for unanimous consent.
And I'm going to ask you to ask that in April,
Thank you.
What I'm saying. Because it's on our agenda for first reading tonight, we'll take it up in April, and at that point you can make that motion, and that would be very appropriate to move it to May at our April meeting. There'll be a different board I think out of respect for what's happening in April, that would be appropriate. Mr. O'Malley, did you want to add something?
I just thought it'd be fair, since most of you probably don't look at the overall budget itself, but just recognize that I don't think you've given yourself enough credit that from the 2009 levy, which for the county board entirely was $393,000, the actions of the board during budget actually reduced this budget by $61,000 to $332,000. So I'm just pointing out that a lot of the decisions you made, as well as changes in staffing assigned to this area, have saved quite a bit of money. Now, I'm not saying that advocates one way or the other, but I do think it should be considered when you're talking about issues of cost. You've done a significant change over the last budget cycle in what you were actually levying for the expense of county board.
Anything else for this first reading? Supervisor Burke.
Just a point of information.
Yes.
Isn't this, and I may be wrong here, but wouldn't this be setting compensation for elected officials who were going to, I thought that had to be done prior to an election for officials who are taking an office in the next term.
Mr. Shepard.
Travel expenses aren't considered to be compensation. The compensation is your monthly salary.
All right. So back to you, Supervisor Veenstra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 3-14, resolution regarding elected officials' salaries for next term. Whereas the County Board has reviewed and considered modifications of the elected officers' salaries pursuant to Wisconsin State Statutes 59.22, Parent 1A, therefore be it resolved that the following elected officers shall be paid at the annual rate set forth on the following schedule. It's listed there for 2000 through 2014. I move it for approval and ask to have the floor.
Moved by Supervisor Veenstra, seconded by Supervisor Bills-Kemper. Back to you, Supervisor Veenstra.
Thank you. I'd actually like to move to refer this for 1 month.
Moved by Supervisor Veenstra, seconded by Supervisor Richmond to refer back to committee.
Correct, back to executive committee. My reasoning for that is these are prospective salary increases for a year out, and I think it's probably most fair for the next board, whomever is on that board, to consider this rather than us. And I talked to Supervisor Spiker yesterday about it, and his recollection was off the top of his head that he thought that that was the practice historically, was to wait until after the April election to set these, and we have until June, I believe, to get this done. So that's why I'm asking for this. Thank you.
So it's been moved and seconded to refer back to executive committee discussion on the referral. Supervisor Spiker.
Could I ask the question then why it would be referred back to the committee? Why wouldn't it be just held on the board floor for 30 days?
Because that was my suggestion to Supervisor Veenstra.
I'm following orders from Madam Chair. No, she also had, at executive committee, you may remember, she had some questions about some compression issues for the Sheriff's Department that we'd like to, I think, talk about perhaps, and also some issues with regard to, in fact, the percentages that were indicated on here. So just sort of a larger discussion. It was relatively short at the meeting.
Do I have
Supervisor Spiker, yep.
But you indicated it was for new board members. Why would it have to go back to the committee then to? I oppose going back to the committee. I would support referring on for the board for till our April, what's the date on it? April 20th meeting.
So the motion in front of us is to refer back to committee. We can vote that down and then vote to just to hold over till our April 20th meeting, if that's your pleasure. Any other discussion on the motion to refer? Supervisor Schrader.
Am I correct in assuming this is just because there needs to be more discussion on the situation? Is that it?
It depends on your point of view, it sounds like.
Is that right?
Supervisor Veenstra.
My feeling is there could be a larger discussion, yes, at executive committee and perhaps some changes. I don't know that. I don't feel extremely strongly about it either way, to be honest, but it was a suggestion from Supervisor Johnson. I see no harm in it. We have plenty of time to do this, and there may be different people on the executive committee. Who knows?
Supervisor Burke.
Madam Chairman, I move to amend the motion to refer by substituting to refer to the April meeting instead of refer to committee.
Moved by Supervisor Burke to amend the motion to refer to become a motion to reconsider at our April 20th meeting. Is there a second to that amendment? Seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Discussion on the amendment to the referral. I'm sorry, I mistaken. A motion to refer to our April 20th meeting, not reconsider. Sorry if I said that word. Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it makes more sense what Supervisor Burke is suggesting, because then all of us can get into discussion, not just. Was there 9 executive committee meetings?
7.
Let's all get in the discussion, and so we'll still beat the timeline of 1 May then. But all supervisors are involved, new ones, whoever, old ones, whatever, whoever's back. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the amendment to the motion to refer? Supervisor Billings.
Thank you, Chairwoman. I am not in favor of the amendment. I am in favor of the original motion. I hear some committee members asking to have another discussion within the committee on this. They wanted to flesh out some more information. Whether or not it goes to the committee, we all still get a crack on it on the county board in April. So I'm supporting having it go back to committee, and I'm not supporting the amendment.
Other discussion on the amendment, which is, in essence, to bring it back to us directly on the county board April 20th, or whoever's here on the county board on April 20th. All those in favor of the amendment, everybody understand what we're voting on the amendment to the motion to refer, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Will the ayes raise your hand, please? Oh, let's just go to the computer. Linda's been napping over here anyway. Sorry, joking. It was a joke. We were behaving well until now. Amending, yep, instead of referring back to committee. So the motion that we're voting on is to amend Supervisor Veenstra's referral motion. Voting in the front row. Sharon, did you vote? Supervisor Schrader, did you vote? Where have you been? I want to correct what I said earlier. It was Supervisor Schrader who was napping, not Linda. The amendment has failed. So we are back to the original motion, which is to refer back to executive committee. Any more discussion on the motion to refer? Supervisor Veenstra.
I just wanted to invite everybody to the executive committee meeting.
Any other discussion on the motion to refer to the executive committee? Let's do this one on the computer as well. We're doing it on the computer. Sorry. So the motion is to refer item 314 back to executive committee. Supervisor Gamroth, did you vote? Supervisor Kyle? Motion to refer has passed on a 26-7 vote. Back to you, Supervisor Veenstra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 3-15, a resolution regarding support of legislation to create a regional transit authority. Whereas RTAs will create jobs, spur development and economic growth, attract business and investors, and build the competitiveness of the state of Wisconsin and the global economy. And whereas other states across the country have implemented them to invest in transit, Wisconsin transit systems are declining due to antiquated funding structures. Whereas Wisconsin cannot afford to fall behind as we work to rebuild our economy and grow new jobs, nor can we delay in taking action to reduce harmful air pollution and dependence on oil. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County Board does hereby support the creation of regional transit authorities and urges the passage of legislation that authorizes Western Wisconsin and other communities the choice of creating an RTA that is a public body corporate and a separate government entity that may operate a comprehensive, unified local transportation system on a region-wide basis. Be it further resolved that the county clerk shall send a copy of this resolution to area legislators, Governor James Doyle, and other interested parties who are concerned about this issue. Fiscal note, there's no fiscal impact to La Crosse County. I move its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Veenstra, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion. Supervisor Schrader.
I personally don't know that much about regional transit authorities to support legislation on it. That's my personal.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to ask a question of the staff. Why we had a general resolution like this when there was a public hearing down in Madison done by Assemblyperson Schilling, Bill 791, which I happen to have a copy of. And it was exclusively identified La Crosse County in there. And my question, I guess, to the staff is, why wouldn't they have come up with a resolution to let us vote on a specific thing that's for a specific county?
Mr.
Anyone
Mallon?
From the staff?
Yeah, at the time that Chairman Doyle asked us to put this together, we didn't have a specific bill. We actually started developing it earlier than coincidentally the city developed one, which was both on 791 and AB 282, which is a statewide authority. So we could have been more specific, and certainly we could have changed that in committee, but we were just working quickly to get this together for the La Crosse County Economic Development Fund. At the time, we didn't know the actual site on the bill.
So the resolution that's before us now, does that support 791, or it doesn't say anything about it?
It would be my interpretation that it just supports the general concept. Okay. And doesn't specify a specific bill. The hearing that you're talking about included both 791 and 282, which was the generalized authority, the La Crosse-specific authority, which the city of La Crosse weighed in on and supported, and it also included another specific bill for another region.
I believe at that public hearing there were actually at least two other bills that received public hearing. There was one for the southeastern portion of the state. There was a bill for that. There was a number of them that committee looked
there
at.
There was five of them.
Five, okay. I knew there were at least four.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Bina.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I sat on the Transportation Coordinating Committee for La Crosse County for a lot of years, and we did talk about this quite a bit in the past, and we had no way of creating a regional transportation authority because of what it said in the state laws. I would like Tom Fiella to come up and, if it's possible, to give us a short explanation of regional transit authority, if that's okay.
Not sure exactly what you're asking for, Don, but
maybe just RTA 101.
There are a regional transit authority is typically a board of directors or other governing body which has the ability to levy funds in some way, and that money is then used to augment local, state, and federal funding for transit systems. There are several throughout the United States which are operating. There are some in Michigan close by that are operating. There are several that were authorized in the last state budget, one in the Eau Claire area and one in the Ashland area. Neither of those have been put into place. As far as the Representative Schilling's bill, which was introduced to the Transportation Committee, the way that bill would work would be that a county board resolution would specify what the board of directors for the RTA would be and would also specify up to 0.5% of county sales tax that would be used to fund the transit authority. Once that county board resolution was approved, then there would be a referendum among all of the citizens of La Crosse County, at which time the authority would be set up.
So if I could just draw everyone's attention to the top of the resolution that this went through the Economic Development Fund, the Legislative Committee, and the Executive Committee as a conceptual resolution. What Tom is talking about, where the county board would need to establish those kinds, those specific guidelines, would be way down the road. This is,
right,
in essence, just supporting the concept of RTAs. Mr. O'Malley.
I'd like to clarify that the legislation specifically about La Crosse County would require two referendums. Mm-hmm. The referendum to actually create an RTA would have to be a ratification by the public of an action by the county board, independent of a decision on whether or not to levy up to an additional 0.5% sales tax. In theory, the county board could choose to establish this. It has to involve the municipalities of the community on that board, and that would have to be discussed with the municipalities. But you could also do this and support it without any increase in sales tax. But the way the legislation is, it requires two referendums. The two authorities that were actually established as an option were included in the budget bill as an afterthought, and the governor vetoed out the language of the first referendum. But the referendum for the 0.5% sales tax would still have to exist. So if this were to be established for La Crosse County under 792, it would actually have a higher bar for us to achieve than the other two communities. It would require two referendums on two separate issues. If one, they wanted to have one, at ratifying your decision as a board, and secondly, if you wanted to have them consider a 0.5% sales tax. And it doesn't have to be the entire amount. It's up to that amount, but they're two separate decisions there. But we do have to involve the municipalities in setting up the actual board of directors and that whole involvement.
Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you. Tom, what little reading I have done on this, it seemed like all the urban areas were a lot larger than ours that have these transit authorities, the regional ones.
Yeah, and you know, that was why there were several bills that have been introduced. I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but what happens is there are several tiers of funding for transit systems, and at the population level that we have here in La Crosse, it's the amount of funding that we are able to receive through state and federal sources is closer to what we need to run the transit systems. As the cities get larger in size, there's a threshold at 200,000 where some of the funding is no longer available, and that's what's happening right now in the Fox Cities area, which is why a lot of this regional transit authority legislation is coming up now, where what they find is they need to rely a lot more on local sources of funding because that state and federal money isn't as available. I don't know if that is that what you're looking for.
No, I guess that's what I'm looking for. It's just it seemed that was one thing that really stuck out to me.
Yeah.
They were much bigger areas than ours, and I guess that would be a reason.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you. I need some clarification. On that federal and state, roughly we would get, is it 80% of the cost would be covered by federal and state? Is that the rough percentage?
For the La Crosse Municipal Transit Utility, that's correct. It is about half, about 50%. There are many providers of transportation, of transit services within La Crosse County, and they really vary. But for the MTU system, it is about 50%.
Okay, now let's say the referendum passed to create the authority, but the sales tax one failed, then it would have to be funded by levy? And would that have to go to referendum?
The decision made by the county board would really say how that authority was set up and what it would do. The legislation that's being discussed now, that Representative Schilling's bill, would authorize up to 0.5% sales tax. It doesn't really say anything about whether the Regional Transit Authority would operate with another source of funds.
No, my point was, I thought somebody said we have to go to two referendums, and the second one would be on the sales tax. Mine is, if the sales tax fails, the only other option I could see would be levy, and does that have to go to referendum?
This does not grant levy authority to an independent unit of government. The only funding source that's in the legislation is user fees, revenue bonds, and or the 0.5% sales tax. If you established a regional transit authority and the 0.5% sales tax did not pass, it would have to do much like the MTU does, which is user fees and those kinds of contracts. I don't know if the MTU has a direct levy, but that would be a decision of the city council, not of the MTU. The MTU can't impose a property tax independent of the city council. This RTA would not have independent taxing authority either.
Supervisor Path.
Thank you. I was going to just to follow up on his question there. Would this, if it did pass the first referendum, and the second one come to the 0.5% sales tax, isn't that more of a city and municipality issue than it would be an entire county issue? Would it be possible that it would be switched to the cities itself?
Again, the legislation that concerns La Crosse County specifically is only specifying an RTA at the county level. It doesn't really talk about the authority for an RTA to be developed at a city or municipal level, only at the countywide level.
Yes, the reason I ask that is it kind of puts La Crosse County at a disadvantage if they have to have a 0.5% sales tax over other counties, is what I'm looking, because it's more of a, because cities can do that, but counties a lot of times have trouble.
Again, that would be a county board decision whether or not to go forward with that.
And the resolution in front of us doesn't address any of that. It's the concept of regional transit authorities and our support of that concept. Supervisor Wood is next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you speak to how inclusive the word transit is? Is it a multimodal model or?
The word transit really relates to provision of those modes which are not personal vehicle. So in a broad sense, transit could include buses, could include rail, could include ferry boats, things like that. The intent of this legislation, as I've discussed it with Representative Schilling, would be for bus systems.
Singularly.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Okay, well, in a way, I'm thinking of other agencies having for lack of a better word, hurdles to jump. I mean, do DOT rules and regs come into play? Does can the community prioritize the way we want to move? Or are there funding criteria or criteria that have to be met to get funding? What's the intersection here? I mean, this is an RTA doesn't sit out there alone by itself. Who else is connected to it? And how much authority do we have?
Sure. All of that would have to be worked out as the RTA is being set up. I mean, there are really a lot of decisions that would have to be made before an RTA were to be effective and really to do some work. I mean, there would have to be a budget for the RTA. There would have to be some question about what that RTA would do. An RTA could, for example, level funds and provide some of those funds to the city of La Crosse to help it with the municipal transit utility. The RTA could contract with a private vendor for transit service. At this point, you can't really say what the RTA would do because there really hasn't been discussion of that.
Okay. Do you think at this point that the Department of Transportation's, you know, 15-year plan for highway improvement changes, et cetera, would impact this and we'd have to work around that, or?
You know, to put it in a nutshell, it's a, there's a certain amount of state and federal dollars that are available within the county for transit systems. And I think La Crosse County does a very good job of attracting those dollars and using those dollars in a very cooperative manner. The funding at the, which would be put into place with the RTA, would be an additional source of funding for transit services. There are desires to expand transit beyond what funding is available now, and this would give La Crosse County an opportunity to provide a higher level of funding. I'm not going to say whether that's good or bad. That's a choice, obviously, that you would have to make, but that's really the intent of this, really, that's one of two intents. The second intent is to provide a different mechanism for organizing transit within the county.
Supervisor Mettinger.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we're probably getting into too much detail. There's a million questions out there, but this really just says we support looking at a regional transit authority. It's a complex thing, but as an advocate of regional mass transit, you know, I know that there are people working on the West Salem Industrial Park. There's a potential for a Bangor Industrial Park. We want to be able to have people access those jobs, low-income people that don't have sufficient automobile. This would put us in a position to do some of those things. I know an employer that's looking at potentially going to West Salem Industrial Park, but a lot of his employees are low-income. He's not going to look there because his people won't have the ability to access it with mass transit. This is an economic development tool. It's a lot of things. So I think we're trying to answer every question and cross every T and dot every I, which we can't do tonight.
Supervisor Cotter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Following up on Member Mettinger, I think that we really are getting way off what the topic of is just the support of an RTA. The Transportation Management Council and the Transportation Coordination Council that have been functioning for many years we kind of gave up to a degree because of the difficulty at the state level to get the approval. But basically, we have a lot of rural areas that are not where the people, the residents, are not being well served in public transportation. And so I think it's the real benefit of a regional transit authority, and I would hope that it would could even be expanded across the county lines, which is how, through the Commission on Aging, we are already setting up cooperative transportation with surrounding counties. And that, to me, is the reason that we should be supporting this resolution. We're a magnet community, and there's a lot of transportation needs, and we don't need to be duplicating services if we can coordinate services instead. A regional transit authority could conceivably do a lot to help that and to make the funding go farther. I don't see any losers in this situation. Thank you.
Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't want to drag us any farther afield than we already are, because there might not be a bus to bring us back. But a little bit later, we're going to be discussing medical assistance transportation. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, might Regional Transit Authority include something like that? I mean, could it be broad enough so that it might include some of those other things that we're already providing transportation for, or would that be totally separate?
It would be related. I don't want to go too far into your next agenda item, but as you get into discussing that item, you'll find that that particular resolution has to deal with, again, costs being shifted to local funds rather than state or federal funds. And, you know, as the county is asked to pick up more and more costs that at one time were borne by the state or the federal government, you'll find that resolution is going to talk about funding being shifted to the county. It's related in the sense that that could potentially take some of the funding away from the current transit provision. So an RTA would provide an additional revenue source to pick up that slack.
Supervisor Friedland.
Well, I could not ask this question because I understand from Supervisors Mettinger and Cotter that this is just conceptual at this point. But I am still curious how big the regional area is and whether this would allow us to work with Minnesota. And who do you see is in the regional area? Who else in western Wisconsin is doing something like this? And if we ever stop fighting with Eau Claire over a rail, is it conceivable, do you see this as part of the vision that we might even work as far as Eau Claire with this regional authority?
The regional authority, again, there's really two questions here. The regional authority that's authorized in Representative Schilling's bill is La Crosse County specific. So it would be a regional transit authority that would operate within the boundaries of La Crosse County. Conceptually, a regional transit authority could include other partners. As you know, the City of La Crescent contracts with the City of La Crosse for transit service now. Our La Crosse Area Planning Committee serves a region which does include La Crescent, Minnesota, and we coordinate transportation within that area of Minnesota as well as La Crosse County, as well as we try to help people that are coming in from other counties to make use of our medical facilities. It would be conjecture to say what any sort of regional transit authority could do. I think right now we would be looking at La Crosse County.
Okay, but it does sound like from what you're saying that just to get La Crescent in, which is right next door, we would have to do some other kind of authorizing.
Yes.
Magic. Okay.
Just in the interest of time, I want to remind everyone that the now therefore be it resolved clause says we support the creation of regional transit authorities and urge passage of legislation that authorizes Western Wisconsin and other communities the choice of creating an RTA. That's it. It doesn't speak. I just want to make sure we know that it doesn't speak specifically to any assembly bill or Senate bill in particular. It's conceptual resolution. I'm concerned we're getting a little far afield here. Supervisor Bina.
The only other point I wanted to make is that if Jennifer's bill goes down, we haven't got an issue at all. That has to pass before we'd even considered. I'd suggest we pass this tonight and have a full day discussion on it after we could even conceive the concept. So,
thank you for your brevity, Supervisor Bina. Supervisor Conkle.
I don't want to drag this out any longer. I agree with Supervisor Mettinger and Supervisor Cotter. I think that anything further with the RTA will be coming back to this body in particular. So with that, I'd like to call the question.
There are two supervisors who have raised their hands and are on my list, Sobranek and Gamroth. Are you okay with us ending debate?
I pass.
Thank you, Supervisor Gamroth. Okay, motion has been made to end debate. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no. Supervisor Ebert. So we are on resolution 3-15. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Will the noes raise their hand, please? Supervisor Spiker, Supervisor Manti, and Supervisor Ebert are noes. And Supervisor Schrader, sorry. Four noes, the resolution passes.
Resolution 3-16, the Honorable Members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding 3-year statement of intentions for the DOT. The DOT requires a statement of project intentions from local units of government intending to apply for federal and or state aid for harbor-related work of any type within the next 3 years. The Executive Committee reviewed the estimated project costs, funding sources, physical location alternatives to the proposed project, and whereas the improvement proposed in calendar year 2012 is to engineer and install 2 tripod barge tie-off structures for the lower end of the Harold Craig Fleeting Facility, along with 200 linear feet of riprap. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board approves the Harbor Development Statement of Intentions for years 2011 through 13. Funding, fiscal note, funding sources for the proposed improvement in 2012 are 2 years' worth of fleeting rental, $30,000, and potential DOT Harbor Assistance Program funds, $120,000. I'd move its approval.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Veenstra, seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Discussion. Supervisor Ebert.
So this is a $150,000 project, is that correct?
Supervisor Meyer, if you want to answer, use the microphone, please.
It's just for planning purposes, really.
It's for planning purposes?
So we are not with this, because I see 30,000 and then a potential for 120. I just want to make sure we are not
authorizing
any funding for this project.
That is correct. This is a requirement of the DOT. Every year we have to inform them of what we have tentative plans for. As I indicated, Corp Counsel wrote the resolution, I modified it. We don't even know if the funds are going to be available in the future. So this definitely does not commit La Crosse County.
I thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Resolution passes unanimously. Is that it for you, Supervisor Veenstra?
That is it. Thank you.
Supervisor Cotter, I believe you're doing Aging and Long-Term Care Committee.
Yes, at the request of Supervisor Plesha. To the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, regarding medical assistance transportation, whereas transportation is a quality of life issue for everyone, especially for those individuals that are elderly or disabled and are no longer able to drive, and whereas the medical assistance program currently pays for the transportation of medical assistance consumers to medical appointments, and whereas the state and federal funding sources limit the county transportation program serving the general elderly and disabled population to charge only a portion of the trip cost, that is, a one-way trip costs $14, that costs $14 may only require a consumer copayment of $350, while currently medical assistance pays the full cost of a trip. And whereas the new program proposed by DHS would eliminate the payment of the full cost of transportation for MA consumers and require the transportation of MA consumers at the $350 rate, thus shifting the difference between the copayment and the actual cost of the ride from MA to the non-medical assistance transit funding sources. And whereas the result of shifting the cost of MA rides to non-MA funding sources will cause the aging unit to run out of transportation funds to serve the transportation needs of the elderly and disabled populations by May 2011, thus eliminating the service or shifting the cost to the county tax levy. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board supports coordination and the use of cost-effective methods to provide transportation to medical assistant consumers and its elderly and disabled citizens. However, the State of Wisconsin DHS and DOT must collaborate and ensure that proper safeguards are in place to prevent a shift in transportation funding that would eliminate transportation services to the elderly and disabled populations, thus affecting their quality of life. The fiscal note is that the aging unit projects that the annual cost to the county taxpayers would range from $193,000 to $578,000 to maintain existing transportation services to the elderly and disabled populations in La Crosse County if there is a shift in funding from MA to non-MA transit funding sources. I move for approval.
Moved by Supervisor Cotter, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously. Is that it for you, Supervisor Cotter? Thank you. Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. I have item number 318 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board about the Support Healthiest County 2015, the La Crosse Community Health Improvement Plan. Whereas thousands of La Crosse County residents suffer or die from preventable disease or injury each year, whereas the La Crosse Medical and Health Science Consortium recently released Healthiest County 2015 La Crosse, whereas the County of La Crosse Board of Supervisors can play a major role in reaching this goal through the services it delivers for alcohol misuse and prevention, traffic safety, exercise, nutrition, health promotion, disease and injury prevention, and other services. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors directs staff to take steps needed to enable the county to reach the goal of being the healthiest county in the state by 2015. Fiscal note, no specific county tax levy funds are requested for this effort. I move its approval and ask to retain the floor after a second.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Conkle.
Don't fight, kids.
Supervisor Hampson, you have the floor back.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that the executive summary is attached. Kathleen Kolkmeyer is in charge of this, and she would be happy to answer any questions you have. This basically is going to act as an umbrella organization to bring all the different efforts within the community together so that everyone knows what everyone else is doing. So that's the idea behind it, and I hope you will support it. Thank you.
Any discussion? Supervisor Bina.
I read it through pretty thoroughly. I got to wondering, you know, you have no cost figure here, but at the end of 2015, how do we measure the goal we set for ourselves? How do we know we come out in first place? And what is the time taken by the staff to keep track of everything that we have in this? It's amazing.
Doug Mormon. Doug's here, and he can answer those questions.
The goals identify specific targets to be reached. The data that's used to determine those goals are the same data that you're seeing now. You heard earlier about the discussion about where the county ranks in terms of its health status. These are the numbers that are used to that will be used to be able to make that evaluation.
But as the population changes and more people come into our county by 2015 and the people are getting older, we talked about all the time, how do we measure whether we were accomplishing anything positive or just the fact that the population is getting elderly all the time? I just don't know how you're going to ever measure that.
There are ways of doing that, and we do it routinely.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Cotter.
This one's really a matter of semantics, but a goal 4, reduce the percent of high school youth that feel unsafe as a result of bullying. Reduce the percent of high school youth that report being hit. It would seem to me that we would want to know all of those that are hit. The goal would not be to reduce. I know what it means. It means that to reduce the number of incidents which require reporting. Anyway, that's...
I think reporting makes it...
Yeah. Anyway...
Reportable. I mean, then that's how you can count it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry, it's
Doug,
just an observation.
That's fine.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Mettinger.
I was going to suggest that maybe you take a survey at the upcoming beer, wine, and cheese festival.
Sure, the health department will take that under advisement. Any other discussion germane to the resolution? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Resolution is passed unanimously. Anything else, Supervisor Hampson? That's it for you?
That's it, thanks.
Supervisor Spiker, Public Works and Infrastructure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 3-19 was approved unanimously by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, authorization to sell unimproved parcels to the Town of Shelby. Whereas La Crosse County has acquired title to certain property in the Town of Shelby, computer parcel 1156-0, now computer 1181-103, pursuant to a tax foreclosure action. Whereas the Town of Shelby desires to purchase said property by paying the outstanding taxes against said property. Whereas La Crosse County is authorized to sell the parcel to the Town of Shelby without publicly advertising the property for bids pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 7569. Whereas this small parcel land is already part of the roadway in the Town of Shelby, and it is appropriate for the Town of Shelby to own said property. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Board hereby authorize sale of parcel 1156-0, now parcel 1181-103, to the Town of Shelby for the sum of $108.05. Be it further resolved, the County Board Chair, County Clerk, are authorized to sign a quick claim deed conveying this property to the Town of Shelby upon approval by the Corporation Council. Fiscal note, the total amount owing $159.12, consisting of unpaid general property taxes in the amount of $108.05, unpaid penalty and interest in the amount of $51.07. Motion for approve and to retain the floor.
Moved by Supervisor Spiker, seconded by Supervisor Benrud. Supervisor Spiker.
One thing that's left out of the resolution is the size of it, of the property. It was 1.5 acres. And the reason to sell it to the Town of Shelby, if we didn't, we'd sell it to an individual, which you can't build on anyway, so it's non-value. It would be cut off the town access to the road in the Town of Shelby.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Sobranek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On this resolution and the following one, could somebody explain whereabouts these properties are, what they're adjacent to, so we can get some idea?
First one is off of Bridal Cooley Road. Is that right, Jeff? For 19. And how about, can we tell you about 20 when it comes up? Is that enough of a description that it's off of Bridal Cooley Road? EL. Bridal EL? Yes. Is that enough? Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Resolution passes unanimously.
Item 3-20, approved unanimously by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, authorization to sell unimproved parcel to the City of La Crosse. Whereas La Crosse County has acquired title to tax delinquent property located between the buildings and bordered by 3rd and 4th Street and King and Cass Streets in the City of La Crosse. Whereas the City of La Crosse desires to purchase said property to be utilized in connection with some alley work that needs to be done in that area. Whereas the county is authorized to sell its property acquired a tax foreclosure proceeding to municipalities without the requirement of advertising for bids to Wisconsin Statute 7569. Whereas the facility director recommends selling the property to the City of La Crosse for a payment of $1,129.58, which reimburses the county for the taxes, special assessments owing to La Crosse County for the years 2004 through 2008. But does not include the levied penalty and interest, and believe that such action is in the best interest of the taxpayers of La Crosse County. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Board hereby authorizes the sale of parcel 17-20029-025, consisting of 0.005 acres, more or less, to the City of La Crosse for the sum of $1,129.58. Be it further resolved that County Board Chair, County Clerk are authorized to sign a quick claim deed conveying the property to the City of La Crosse upon approval by the Corporation Council. Fiscal note, the total amount owing equals $1,778.70 as of March 2010. consisting of unpaid general property taxes and special assessments, $1,129.58, interest $433.12, and penalty $216. I move for approval, Madam Chair.
Moved by Supervisor Spiker, seconded by Supervisor Paff. Discussion. Supervisor Sobranek.
Would that be that little patch of land behind Goes Chapter 2 that they're using for a parking lot?
Yes, it would be.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Resolution passes unanimously. Is that it for you, Supervisor Spiker? Thank you. Suggestions for future agenda items. On your desk is a note from our friends on the Complete Count Committee and stickers for your enjoyment and wearing. And I'm suggesting that we make sure that on next month's agenda we have an update on census activities so we can hear a report on that instead of just read it on our desktop, since it's not on tonight's agenda, and we might like it to be on tonight's agenda. Any other agenda items for future meetings? Supervisor Geary.
I don't know if this is an agenda item. I seem to be at the bottom of these resolutions where people are signing reviewed only or recommended only or something. I'm seeing less and less purpose in this. Supporting the healthiest county in the state in 2015, or medical assistance, transportation, we get reviewed only. A more policy decision would be the RTAs, and we got a recommended. But more specifically, the role of Corporation Council on signing these, since he drafts most of these resolutions, I think it was brought up before. I think Bill should check with the County's Association or the Attorney General what the role of the Corporation Council is. I never feel good. I am assuming if he drafts a resolution, it's got to be legally binding or we did everything correct to start with because he wouldn't have drafted it. But when he drafts it and signs it that he recommends it, I think that should be looked into. Just so, to me, I don't think it's his role as Corporation Counsel to be recommending any resolution. It should be to recommend what's legally to keep the county in good legal standing or whatever that is. But on the other department heads too, I have no clue what's policy, what isn't. Things with no fiscal notes get reviewed only. Things that may have a fiscal note maybe get recommended. I'm losing perspective on why we even do this.
So you are wanting this. So specifically, Corp Counsel to look into his role. Okay. Anything else for future agenda items? Supervisor Sobranek.
Just a quick word of advice. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. With that said, I move adjourned.
Moved by Supervisor Sobranek, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you all.